This is a CBC podcast.
It was 40 years ago yesterday that the Prime Minister Trudeau of the day told Canadians he was going to call it quits.
Seemed like a good day to have a last day.
Trudeau added on his way into his office that he'd made the decision after taking a solitary walk last night during the capital's biggest snowstorm of the year.
And 40 years later, Saskatchewan's minister for Sask Energy was on Parliament Hill. The premier posted the video of Dustin Duncan on social media.
I'm here in Ottawa, where 40 years ago, Pierre Trudeau took a walk in the snow and decided to resign as prime minister. Today, I took a walk in the rain and made an important decision about the carbon tax.
For more on that decision and what it will mean for us, we've reached our political panel. Adam Hunter covers politics for CBC Saskatchewan. Murray Mandrick writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post, and they join us every week. Hi, guys.
You know, if I put my mind to it, I could do a darn fine Dustin Duncan impression. I just want
to... He does one of you from time to time.
But I could do a darn fine one.
Okay.
You ever notice he sounds so much like me?
Adam, what is Dustin Duncan and the premier saying about all this?
This is something that, despite what Dustin Duncan says about it, he was going for a walk and he made a decision. I don't buy that for a second.
Right.
We've heard about this for months now, and the premier made a video on social media months ago in a kitchen somewhere saying, we're not going to remit the carbon tax. And then the government sort of slowly kind of walked that back, and they danced around the language of, well, maybe we won't. And there was the Sask Energy changes and Dustin Duncan saying we're going to carbon jail. So this is something they foreshadowed and sort of said to us we're going to do for a long time. So even though it was a dramatic video they put out and he's walking through the rain and they're in front of Parliament Hill, the decision was probably made long ago that they put this in motion. They changed the law that they got the opposition support from to put this in play to get to the point where we were yesterday, where the only reason they announced it yesterday was because that was the deadline, the end of February. So the federal government came back, federal natural resources minister Jonathan Wilkinson saying, well, we're not going to give you a rebate to people in Saskatchewan. And the premier came back on Twitter and said, well, you know, actually you should just take carbon tax off everything then, not just the rebate doesn't just affect, you know, home heating in Saskatchewan. So this isn't over, obviously. The federal government has said that the Supreme Court decided that Saskatchewan has to follow the law, and the federal justice minister saying yesterday that we expect the provinces to follow the law. Wilkinson saying there can be anarchy if the provinces don't follow the law in these cases. And the provinces signaled from months now that they weren't going to. So we're at this position now that we see today where the federal government's threatening to take away the rebates. They haven't said for sure they're going to. And the premier's going to play off that, I think.
Murray, what do you think this rebate issue will mean?
Well, I think Federal Minister Wilkinson is playing right into the province's hands, and I actually think the province has a valid point. That valid point stems from Goody Hutchings, the federal rural development minister, saying, well, if you want more you want the carbon tax removed from your home heating, maybe you should have elected more Liberals. And it is that blunt and that sad. So this incredible bungling by the Liberal government, from carbon tax in the beginning, in my humble opinion, but generally the specific handling of the one-off of removing it on home heating that happens to best affect an area where they're vying for votes in Atlantic Canada has been troubling all along. So I think the provincial government has a good point that the federal government has been playing politics here anyway, so this is going to go over well politically. It is political, as opposed to actually having a news conference where you can answer serious questions from reporters like Adam outlined. How is this going to affect the provincial budget? How is it going to affect those of us who got the rebate and actually benefited somewhat from this exchange? How is it going to affect any number of things? What are you going to do, or what are you going to tell people like me when I say, gee, maybe I don't want to pay the PST because farmers don't have to, or pay the gas tax because farmers don't have to, and I think that's unfair. Do I get to decide? Well, of course I don't. There's all these questions that the provincial government is not answering right now, and instead putting out a cute by half video with some references to the resignation of Pierre Elliott Trudeau 40 years ago, totally irrelevant, silly, and pointless, and putting it on social media, by the way, where they can speak directly to their own voters, as opposed to actually standing up like a government should and answering questions asked by reporters in a press conference. This is where the problem lies. That said, they are on the right side of the issue. They're on the right side of the issue related to principle, and they're certainly on the right side of the issue related to the politics here. And that's problematic for the federal government, particularly the business of being just simply wrong by one-offing Atlantic Canada and home heating oil and not considering seriously the argument that was put forward by this province, up to and including, by the way, why are you talking about not giving or taking away the entire rebate when it's on gas, diesel fuel, everything else? That's completely unfair. Like it's almost as if Ottawa is now going out of its way to alienate people in Saskatchewan, Western Canada, which obviously is going to further frustrate and bolster Scott Moe. Pleasant distraction from teachers and stuff and all the stuff going on in the session, though,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, and even if the opposition doesn't have much to ask on this front because they signed on, as you've mentioned many times in this space, and as the minister will never hesitate to mention, they got unanimous support for this. They will have to answer your questions in earnest starting next week. What else are we going to hear about when the spring sitting gets back?
I think Murray mentioned it there. The first thing is going to be teachers. But seeing what the teachers do next week, we know that there's already going to be some job action with extracurricular being affected next week. But you know, the teachers obviously have been – they're in Regina. They were in the Regina area. They've been picketing the days they're striking or taking afternoons where they're removing noon hour supervision. They've been walking up and down.
I was on Albert Street the other day. Yeah.
And this is not just when it's Regina teachers the other day. It was Prairie Valley. It's just the surrounding area of Regina. Mm-hmm. Those teachers were walking. So I would expect to see, you know, sub-job action throughout the sitting as long as this is going on. Healthcare is going to be a major one. That's something that the opposition has spoken up about. We had SARM this week come out and say that there's a, you know, crisis and they want nurse practitioners to be brought back into rural areas, to be trained there, to work there. The Bear Pit's coming up in a couple of weeks in Regina. So they're signaling this is the major issue for us. It's healthcare. Cost of living obviously ties into the carbon tax, ties into the rebates. The federal government very quickly saying, you know, people that make less money are getting more money back from rebates and they're paying in carbon tax. So that's going to be something that perhaps the opposition could come out and say, hey, well, what about that? And then I think this money that is been spent through special warrants that came out and the opposition was flagging that last week, $750 million right before a budget. Pretty unusual to spend that chunk of change, not kind of list. We know where it's going. We don't know many details. We didn't hear from a minister as to explaining this. And we were expecting, you know, this time last year, a good news budget in an election year. And I don't know how many goodies are going to be in this budget because of, you know, the money that's being spent right now and all the issues that people are flagging in the province that need to be addressed.
What are you expecting from this budget, the last before we vote in an election?
Well, you know me, Steph. I don't like to prejudge, but I'm going to go on a limb here. There might be acrimony. There might be acrimony, this being the last session before the general election in October. All the things that Adam said are of value in terms of policy discussion, up to and including what is happening with the 23-24 budget when we're spending an extra $757 million last minute, unaccounted for in the same way so much has been unaccounted for by ministers that would prefer to have their staff put out statements is to actually hold press conference or explain what they're doing, getting really bad for that. It's going to get worse because of two things. It is the election cycle, but it's going to get worse because they really dislike each other at this particular point. And generally in politics, you have healthy disagreements to maybe mild annoyance with each other to something else. It's beyond that, and it's going to be probably even worse than these sessions where we saw politicians flipping the birds at each other for whatever this time around because of the issues in play. We have issues like Bronwyn Eyre appointing her constituency association and then trying to justify it, which was just pathetic. It really, you know, like the justification from her and her government only cycles this into something deeper than it actually is opposed to actually taking responsibility for it. But I'm more worried about the policy side and the stuff that isn't going to get cleaned up in the 29th legislature in Saskatchewan. You know, look at the suicide bill that didn't get passed initially. We finally saw some movement basically at the 11th hour from Tim McLeod on this, which is good. But yet it's still surrounded by that usual acrimony. And this is just going to build and increase up until past the budget and through the session. I think this will be a bit of a fantasy budget because we won't see numbers. We're not even seeing numbers on third quarter on 23-24. So one can well imagine what they're going to guess is their revenue streams and spending streams for 24-25 when they go to the polls before they really have to account for it. So this is going to be that kind of session where it's going to be noisy, it's going to be political, it's going to be blustery, and it probably won't be that much fun for those of us who have to sit and listen through the whole thing.
Will we have an early election or will it be October?
I will say it'll be later only because of all the issues we've outlined. The government doesn't have a lot of money to spend. They have a teacher's job action continuing, and I don't see the benefit right now. We know that a lot of the MLAs have all made their decisions one way or the other, which has led to speculation. But it's something that, you know, I've talked to a few political experts and political watchers about this from the U of S, Daniel Westlake, who said, you know, the signs that would point to calling an early election that would benefit you aren't really there for the government at this point. But the opposite argument is that you don't want to give the NDP and Carl Lebec more momentum, more chance to sell themselves. And how threatened are they by the Saskatchewan United Party and that threat? They aren't super organized right now. They don't have a lot of candidates. It's not clear how much organization they have on the ground. So maybe you want to get ahead of that. That was a couple of the arguments. But there's so many clouds hanging over the government right now when it comes to the teachers, healthcare, cost of living, and as we said, all this money that we don't know what's going to be spent and what's going to come in the budget.
Might come down to how bad that storm is this weekend. And here's why. Right now, we got a huge problem out there in rural Saskatchewan with very dry crops. We hate spring storms. We hate putting up with blizzards and everything else. But farmers, as you well know, because your dad farmed and wrenched, kind of like the moisture. And this moisture that they get right now might be the saving grace for the SAS party to keep angry rural voters at bay. Because the only thing that really kind of threatens them in rural Saskatchewan right now, where their base is, where they think they will win this election, is the fear that we're having another bad year and farmers in a very, very bad mood because they're just not getting enough support from government to deal with it. With a drought. So if it's not as bad a crop year this is what they're coping for, that it won't be as bad a crop year in the fall and they can actually run an election off this. So that comes down to things like this right now, as strange as that might sound. But it's simply the reality of politics in Saskatchewan.
Oh, absolutely. Still remember a September call and all of the angst about that, remember?
Yeah, that was not a wise move by Roy Robel.
It was not.
Calling in the middle of
a harvest. Oh, gosh.
You might have got a couple farmers mad.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys.
You're welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.